All right. And the fact that Joseph went and said, okay, I got it, I'll do it. It always has amazed me that was their heart. And Mary, the second week, we talked about Mary as well, and that was the story of peace. And how Mary, in this, having the angel come and tell her that, look, here's the plan, here's what's going to happen. And Mary being able to go, okay, let it be done to me as you said. Treat your servant as you say. And she was willing to go through this, And again, back then, this is not talk show or, cable television or anything. This would have been radical and shocking to have somebody who is now pregnant, not married at this point. Or we know it's not, in a small town, everybody's going, oh, look at Mary. To have this happen and her still be willing to go, do it. Go ahead. I'm the servant of God. So do unto me as you would. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this week, continuing in Luke, and we're going to be in verse 8. But what has happened up at this point, if you know in the story, that Caesar has decreed that there be a census taken. We're coming up here in America to take a census time. Matter of fact, they're looking for, I think the commercial, they're looking for census takers. I'm going to tag you around knocking doors. Census taker, how many people in your house? All right, it should be fun. But the same thing back then, a government has not changed since then. The reason they did a census was to find out how many people lived in a town so they could tax them. Sounds familiar, does it not? That's the reason we count people in America. It has nothing to do with voter polls and this and that, so we know how much taxes we should be getting and things like that that go on. So nothing has changed. Joseph and Mary have had to go back, though, to the town from where the family is from, and that is Bethlehem. And so, because that's where Joseph's family comes from. So, Joseph has taken his wife, who is 9 months pregnant, and put her on a donkey, and made a 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They get there, and as they arrive, they find that the town is packed. People from all over have come. They've taken all the hotels. They got there too late at night. Whatever it is. There's no place for him to go. And I would imagine at some point as you talk about the innkeeper and think about it, that probably what happened is the innkeeper has a knock on the door and he goes, do you have room? They look and say, no. The innkeeper's like, we're full up. We can't do it. The innkeeper's wife is probably behind him going, but she's pregnant. Look, we got to do something. He's like, no, we're full. He's like, we've got to do something. And she says, and so they go, well, I don't have room here. I do have a stable, however. We'll take anything. This baby's coming at any minute. We need a place to be. They go to the stable. Amongst the animals and the hay, Mary gives birth to Jesus. And now we get to this part of the story in verse 8. And it says, now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16, and when they came with haste, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her hearts. You know, and now you have gender reveal parties. You know, we're having a baby. What is it going to be? Well, it's a 50-50 shot. Boy, girl, I don't, you know, and you bite into the cake and it's pink inside, which is gross, but whatever. All right? You know, and it's a girl, yeah, you know, or it's a boy, and they do all these things. And they have these big announcements. Everybody does photo shoots now. Have y'all seen all those? Everybody has some photo shoot with a picture frame over mom's belly. You know, when dad does it, it's not as cute. But, you know, and so all this takes place. And back then, you just had a kid and you went on about life. You know, but still, even this, there was nothing normal about this birth announcement. One, they weren't born in a house. Jesus was not born in a house. He was born in a stable, in the barn. Now, we have a barn. It's fairly nice. It has concrete floors now. They didn't have concrete back then like we think now. It had been dirt. I wouldn't want to be born in a barn. I was accused of that as a child when I leave the door open. Were you born in a barn? Yeah. You know, but anyway. So, being born in a barn would have been weird to begin with. Factor in the fact that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Doesn't he deserve better than this? Being born in the hay and the dirt, laid in a manger. And no, the manger is not the whole thing. That's the stable. That's the barn. The manger is the thing the animals eat out. There's some cow going, why did you move my corn? Because I have to make room for the baby. But then, the birth announcement itself comes. God sends his messenger to a bunch of shepherds out in their fields with the sheep. And it says they were out there at night watching the sheep, because that's what you do. Because the enemy comes at night. And one of the most dangerous times for livestock is overnight, because that's when the predators come. We have a neighbor that's dealt with that with the goats. We've had a couple coyotes or something has gotten to one or two of our goats. Luckily, we have donkeys. They tend to keep those away. But so they're out there. They're watching. They're on guard. They're making sure that nothing gets to the sheep. Then all of a sudden, boom, in the sky, there's this big angel. And he announces the birth of the Messiah. Well, what's weird about it? Well, shepherds were actually one of the lowest classes of citizens. Okay? I don't think we can compare it nowadays. I mean, I guess if you talk to some hoity-toity people, it would probably be going back to farmers, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't want to pick on farmers because I love farmers, you know, and it's different. But you talk educated versus farm, you know, type of thing. And that's kind of how they would think about it. Shepherds to them were nothing. They didn't have the ability to go be a religious leader or a businessman or anything. They just had to watch these old sheep. They were snooty back then, you know? And that's just the way society was. They were dirty, you know? And let's face it, you hang around animals enough, do you smell like roses afterwards? No. You can tell at our house when we've been out working with the animals. You get on a horse and you ride it and you get home and you go, whew, right? There's a fragrance to being with animals. Well, the shepherds would have had this. They were out in the dirt in the field with them. They were out there all the time. They were basically at the bottom of the food chain when it came to this. This is not the people that you would go and announce the birth of the King of Kings to. So why did God choose the shepherds as the first to hear the birth of the Savior? Well, one of the things I think that's interesting is, what shepherds were these? Well, a lot of people say that, you know, we celebrate Christmas in December, December 25th. Hey, and there's secular reasons why the church chose it to combat certain things from the secular world. But people go, there's no way it had to be in the spring or the fall or some other time of year or the summer, because there wouldn't have been shepherds out in the field. It would have been too cold in the winter. They would have moved their sheep somewhere else. Well, it's not 100% true. For a regular shepherd, yes. But what we've come to understand, that Bethlehem is about 5 miles away from Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem was the main Jewish temple. The temple that offered sacrifices. It offered the lambs for sacrifice. It's a very real Savior is born. Understand this. Whatever it was that got to them, they left their sheep when they heard the Messiah had been born. And if they knew anything, and they knew that the Messiah had come, they knew their sheep would no longer be needed. Because Messiah was going to fix them. The next thing I want us to know is, you know what? God came for all people. Why the shepherds? Well, according to their class, the shepherds would have been the lowest. And if you start at the lowest, we know that eventually the king hears, because the wise men come, which they call kings. We three kings of Orient are, right? All right, but probably scientists, higher-ups in the court. But we know that those up in power hear later. So from the least to the greatest. And when you see this in the Bible, it's important to know. The Bible is one of those, the way they wrote in Jewish writing, is they don't tell you every detail. Okay? If you have 50 kids, you might talk about the oldest and the youngest. You may not say anything about the ones in between. And it's not that you don't like the ones in between. You just ain't got that kind of time. And so the reality is, if I'm talking about the youngest and the oldest about doing something, that means that every one of them are involved in it. And so that's the way Scripture goes. When we talk about the least and we talk about the greatest, when you put those two bookends there, it also includes everyone in between. So this would be symbolic of the fact that Jesus came for all people. And not to mention the fact that it actually says, good news for all. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born today. Next, the birth of Jesus was a joyous occasion. We talk about the joy candle being lit. It wasn't just joyous for mankind. Think about this. It was joyous in heaven as well. God's glory was present in the announcement. Now, I was there for the birth of my children. I was proud. Once I get over to it. Our oldest being born was also. She stubborn, refused to come out. Doctor tried to help. She sucked it up. I thought the baby was coming. I'm like, you got protection, my baby. Scared me to death. But then you were proud, you know? And I feel bad for moms, because, you know, the first thing you want to do is show everybody, or all the family wants to come in. You know? And mom's yelling, just going to do that for hours. You know, but the dad goes, look at my baby, look what I did. Mom's like, nothing. Nothing, right? But as I was a proud dad. You know, you got the picture with the kids, you got to show them to your parents, you got to show them to everybody. And I don't think God has pride like we have. But I think God was at the birth. I think God, because God's everywhere. But God's glory showed up in the announcement. You know it's from God when God's glory is present. You can't hide that. And it said the glory of God shone round about them. And they were afraid. And I'm not going to do it, y'all, and I may have told the story before, so forgive me if I do. At the school last week, I was talking about this being born, but one of my favorite musicals at Christmas time, and I don't remember what it was. All I remember was it was a children's group was putting this on, and like they had the platform over here. There was a platform where the organ sat, and there was a door that walked right out on the platform. Well, they had little kids gathered around a little fake fire, and they were the shepherds out in the field. And all of a sudden, through the black curtain stepped this angel, and he got hit with a spotlight, and he says, "Fear not." And the kids went, ah, and were screaming at the top of their lungs. what's happened with sin and how it's plagued this earth. And they've seen God say, I'm going to fix this. They've spent heaven and eternity with Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus, they say, go. And Jesus goes and they watch. Jesus, as the Godhead, one of the three, then becomes this little baby, and they're celebrating the fact that God's plan is coming to fulfillment, that God is now saving the world through the birth of this child. And I believe that the angels truly rejoice at the birth of the Savior. But the last thing I want us to think about today is that, you know what? The birth of Jesus demands action. See, the birth of Jesus is one of those things, and you can say what you want, and the evolution nutheads and the secular people have gotten into stuff now, and it's now BCE and before current something, and I don't remember all the things. All I remember is there was BC and AD, right? BC meant what? Before Christ. AD meant... basically after Jesus, year of our Lord. Jesus, the birth of Jesus, as far as history he tells, split time in half of what happened before he came, what happened after he came. You can change the initials all you want, but you cannot deny that the birth of Jesus impacted this world like never before. And the shepherds, when they heard the announcement at the birth, the first thing they did was fear. There was awe. There was reverence. There was respect for the birth of the Messiah, the presence of God. Next, the shepherds then went to see for themselves what they were told. Can you imagine the conversation out in the field? Angel pops up, disappears. Multitude just sang a song. I bet even the sheep were out there going, and the shepherds were all sitting there going, man, that was weird. All right, well, let's go back to our campfire. Right? But no, they said, that was awesome. I don't know if they said awesome back then. I don't think that's Greek. Hebrew. Whatever. But they were like, this is awesome. This is amazing. We've got to go see this. Jewish person knows prophecy. They know the scripture. So when the angel tells them what's going on, they're going to know this is it. They've got it. They know who this is. See, the birth of Jesus demands that we have some response to him as well. You know, and we do. We serve a Savior that can identify with us completely. He was born into the humanity. He was put on flesh just like we are. He suffered through